about the rest of you? Well, this morning we're going to conclude our series on authority. So let me give you kind of the heads up. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look there. Then we're going to go to Exodus 17. So you can now kind of find your little bookmark in your Bible, or you can bookmark it in your app if that's what you have. And I want to talk to you as we conclude on this thing on authority, about binding and loosing and what that all means, because binding and loosing is one of those things that you read in the Bible, at least when I was younger, and not even like younger, like 16, younger, like even 30, you know, and I'm like reading about binding, that which is bound on earth is bound in heaven, that which is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. I'd be like, okay. And I'd move on because I didn't quite understand the whole principle. Now, I kind of got the idea, but you see, when I was a kid growing up, if you heard, sometimes you'd hear preachers really get into it. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you were watching TV or something like that, you know, and they'd get into a something and they'd use binding or something. You know, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you, demon. And you're like, okay, so it's basically a spiritual muscle or what? You know, I don't understand. And so my hope is by the end of today, not that you'll have it all figured out, because quite honestly, I don't have it all figured out. But I do know this, that God has something to say to us through his word about binding and loosing and what it is and how we can apply it to our life. Now, he's called us to live a life of authority. We submit under his authority and we rule our world well under his authority. But when we step out from under his authority, things can go they can just go in the wrong direction, can't they? You know, many times we think, what's wrong with my world? What's wrong with that person? Why is this happening? And we don't realize we've stepped out from under the authority of Christ. So if you're here today and you're joining us for the first or maybe the second time, you're coming in at the end of a series, so you might be saying, where did all this come from? We've been going, this is a six-week series we've been working on. And the whole premise is this. If you have asked Jesus into your heart for the forgiveness of sins, then you have all the authority that you need to do what God's called you to do. But how do you live that out? Because having authority is one thing. Authority is not something you can purchase. Authority is not necessarily something that you can just say, I have. It's something that number one, God gives to us, and we get to walk in. And the challenge is this. How can we learn what it means to walk in authority so that we can start ruling our world well instead of our world ruling us? I don't know about you, but I'm getting sick and tired of my world ruling me. How about you? I'm tired of temptations, circumstances, crisis, chaos being the thing that dictates my life. How about you? Now, the challenge is this. So you're telling me that if I live under authority, I'll never have temptations, chaos, crisis, and any troubles? No, I'm not telling you that. That'd be foolish. But I tell you that when you live under the authority principle, understand the authority God gives you, then you start addressing it from his point of view instead of just yours. So when we understand that, you know, one of the things I loved, and thank you, church, for praying for our Cambodia team. I don't say that just because my wife's on the team, but she is. And so because my wife's on the team, I get a few more messages than I normally get from the team. And Wednesday, you know, Mike had sent an email, please be in prayer. We're really having some real spiritual battles here going on with some just kind of some appearances and some, you know, weird stuff. We need your prayers. And we put it out there to you as a church. And you guys jumped all over that. I mean, you were on it, and people are praying and typing out prayers. I want you to know that when they go on their trip, they don't go and we say, good luck, you know, God be with you. Don't let the door hit you. Have a good time. Show us pictures. When they go, they're an extension of this church family, and it was amazing for me to see how all of you just jumped in and started. You were a part of that, and you still are. They're not back till Thursday, so keep them in your prayers. But there was a real battle that was going on. You have to address those battles you face with his perspective, not just yours. Otherwise, it'll crush you. Binding and loosing, we're going to get into it. I want to share a few things with you, but eventually you're going to say, hey, when you get into the binding and loosing stuff, we'll get there. But Matthew 16 starts to talk to us about this whole principle. Okay, Matthew 16, verse 13, I'll start at. It says that when Jesus Christ came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? That's the question. That's the most important one. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, I shared with you last week, when it comes to binding and loosing, I didn't have much knowledge about this. Whenever I was a young kid, if somebody said you were bound up, that was not a good thing. When they said, "You're bound up," man, that meant the castor oil and the prune juice was coming out, baby. And the opposite of that wasn't the greatest either, because when things were loosed, you know, it wasn't really pretty either. So here I'm reading my Bible and it says, you know, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And I'm thinking, oh, that didn't sound too good. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Sounds kind of messy. Sounds like it could be kind of a dangerous thing to approach. But the reality is when you get a spiritual perspective of what binding and loosing is, as we'll discover in a moment, you realize it's a key that God gives to you and to me. So this morning, I want you to prepare your heart. You know, there was a muscle builder who went to a village in a third world country. And when he got there, he went to the tribe chief. And I mean, this dude was ripped. I mean, it just muscle upon muscle upon muscle. And the tribe chief says, "Well, man, you're enormous. What can you do with that?" And he said, "It's better if I show you than try to explain it." He said, "Okay, well, go." And the dude went into his poses. You know, he started shouting, Well, I don't know what poses he did, but whatever pose he did, he started just busting out those poses. And the chief said, "Man, that is so impressive." The chief said, "I've got a second question." He goes, "What else can you do with those muscles?" And the bodybuilder thought for a minute and he said, "Well, that's pretty much it. I work out to pose." And the chief said, "What a waste. I hope you didn't come this morning to just pose. I hope you didn't come here just to carry your Bible into church and to say, I did my time, I sat in the pew, I made it through another service without falling asleep. I hope you didn't come here to just say, I've done what I had to do so that I can get through my week." Because when you understand that God gives us an authority and there's some keys He wants to give us, you understand you can't make it through your week unless you come together as the body of Christ and learn what it is that God has to say to us. You know, God doesn't just say, "Do good, don't do bad, and you'll make it to heaven." Enough said. You know, there's something He wants to speak to you every week. You know why? He wants to speak it to you every day. You know why? Because He knows what you're going to face, even when you don't. So when you get His perspective, He'll start to equip you for that tragedy that's coming up, that crisis that's coming up, that responsibility financially that's coming up, that relationship that's coming up. He prepares our hearts. So, God said, as we looked in the last few weeks, that He was going to delegate His authority over His rulership over to mankind. We got to choose how we would rule, under His authority or not. And don't think this morning that you can say, "Well, I don't know if I want to go under God's authority or not, so I'm not going to make a decision yet." You just made one. You just made one. If you choose not to come under the submission to the authority of Christ, you have just chosen not to. You can't say, "I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray about it. I want to fast." You know, you can't do anything to try to impress God spiritually. He's God. So how are you going to let your world be ruled? Under His authority or under your own? The reason most of us are not living our lives that are getting turned around, maybe it's because we're not located in the right place. Maybe we haven't seen much victory or success because the location, we've not been living under kingdom authority, but we've been living under our own personal authority. If you seek to discover your world under the wrong covering, then you lose the right to rule your world well. You give that up. God will let you and I decide whether we're going to live under and rule under His authority or whether we're going to do it our own way apart from Him. But we have to know this. The Bible says that you and I, when we give our hearts to Jesus, we have been legally set free. Okay? Did you know that? We've been legally set free. Well, set free from what? Set free from the curse of having to go to hell, set free from the sin that's in this world, set free from that which tries to drag you down, set free in a mindset that says we'll always fail, we'll always lose, we never win. He's legally set us free on the cross tree of Calvary. So here's the thing. We can never no longer say, "The devil made me do it." I know you don't want to hear that, probably, because now I've got nobody to blame. I mean, if I can blame the devil and he's not going to, you know, say anything. No, it's about taking responsibility. God has legally, Jesus, through Jesus, has legally set us free. So we can no longer say the devil made me do it because he has no legal right to make us do anything. We have been transferred out of the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of God. So the devil cannot legally defeat you or me. But it's also possible, though, that we give away our legal rights, that we don't utilize. It's possible to be free and act like a slave, in other words. It's possible to function, but yet be in bondage. It's possible to be delivered, but still act like a POW because you've not actualized what's been legalized. God has legalized this, but we have to act upon that which God has purchased for us. In other words, we have to respond. The Bible says, you draw near to him, and then he does what? So who went first, you or him? Us, we. We do. So we have to act, and when we act upon it, we will actually be able to understand how he has legalized this. He has legalized our victory, legalized our right to rule our world. But in order for that which has been legalized to be realized, we must actualize it. Did you catch that? In order for you and I to realize what God has done, that he's paid the price, we have to act upon the price that he paid. We have to act upon that gift. God has that for you and for me. So today I want to talk to you about binding and loosing. Verse 19 says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, loosed in heaven. You know, I found it interesting. I think maybe I would rather it was worded, whatever is bound in heaven is bound on earth, and whatever is loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. You know why? Because then it's all done up there. God's responsible. I'm not. You do your thing, Grandpa Santa Claus, and then give me what I want. But that's not what he said. He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in. Yeah. He says, in other words, you go first. He says, I give you permission. I give you all my authority. I give you the keys to the kingdom. You have everything you need. But you cannot sit around and say, the devil made me do it. Well, my grandpa's grandpa was this had this problem, so that's why I have this problem. No, you have all that you need to do what you need to do, but you must act upon it. And when you bind it on earth, then it's bound in heaven. And when it's loosed on earth, then it's loosed in heaven. We'll talk about that more in just a moment and kind of break it down a little bit more. In the Bible, we write here the context is Peter declaring Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. And then he pronounces a blessing on Peter. I'm spitting all over my notes, sorry. Sometimes you just get going and spit's flying. That's why nobody sits in the front pew, I think. Where was I? Oh, I was spitting on my notes, yes. Peter's declaring Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Chuck, make sure you edit that out for TV. He says, Peter, you're a stone. He talks to the rest of them too, if you'll notice in the Bible, and he calls them a rock, but Petra is the word that's being used. A Petra is a group of rocks that have been formed together to create a bigger boulder, a stronger foundation or a slab. But he says, Peter, you're the lead man. Okay, you're the lead man, but I cannot build my program on one preacher. It's going to be built on this coming together under the proper leadership, which is called the church. So it's not about a pastor or an evangelist. Now, are they important? Well, yeah, I think so. I hope so, because I is one, okay? But I think God is going to accomplish what he accomplishes, not through one man, but through the body, which is the church. That's how he's going to do it. He's going to use the church to address the gates of hell. Oh, I don't want to do that. Me neither. But I tell you what, if you just stick your head in the sand, the gates of hell are coming anyway. Maybe it's time to man up spiritually woman up, and be able to finally address it from his perspective instead of ours. Because my perspective on my problems, it's pretty bleak, and I always seem to lose. But when God's perspective steps in, I have the victory. You have the victory. But we have to gain his understanding. He says, I'm going to build the church. And the way you're going to know it's my church is because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The way you'll know it's mine, it's because hell will be losing and not winning. If your life is being lived under the circumstances instead of living your life, if that's the norm for you, living under the circumstances, then maybe, just maybe, something's out of sync. Here's the thing about something being out of sync. Resync. We do that with our electronics all the time. Man, my iPad's not communicating with my iPod. We hit a button, and there it is. But all of a sudden, our life gets out of sync, and we think God forgot us. We think God doesn't love us. God doesn't want me. God doesn't want to use me. And, no, get your life back in sync with the Holy Spirit and what he's doing with your life. Let him start speaking back into your life that way. How? Well, in verse 18, he says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And I love the word church there, because the Greek word, I'm going to have you say it with me, is ekklesia. Ready? Go ahead. Ekklesia. That's the Greek word that's being used here for the word church, which means the assembly, an assembly or a coming together. We're the ekklesia this morning. We have assembled and we have come together for one purpose. And it's not to hear me preach, it's to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. The ekklesia. Regularly, this word was used for a body that would come together to regulate the law, by the way. In the Bible, the ecclesia would come together to regulate law like Congress. Many people think church is only a place to come and get inspired and learn from the Word of God. That is part of it. But you and I, we are God's spiritual legislature. Did you know that? You are part of God's spiritual legislature. Now it's not just about coming in here and a preacher. It's like, oh, you mean I'm part of this? Yeah. You're part of this. You're part of God's spiritual legislature. He wants to hear our voices. We are His Congress. Think of it this way. The embassy. Every embassy around the world is a little bit of America a long way from home, right? We place embassies all in different nations. And this little bit of America a long way from home is to take the values of America and live them out on a foreign land, right? You understand that? You understand embassies and how they work? And we have ambassadors there? All embassies, guess what? They're sovereign territories. And what that means is this. They do not belong to the land that they're in. They don't belong to that land. They belong to the country that has sent them. But they're located in a foreign land, representing the homeland. Guess what? That's what we're to be, the ecclesia. We are living a long way from home, and we're supposed to be taking, if heaven's our home, we're supposed to be the ambassadors of Christ. And we're supposed to be the ecclesia, the church that is taking that little bit of home and living it out here on earth and letting that light so shine. You shouldn't be expecting to come in here on Sunday morning and hearing the regurgitations of what you've heard out there all week long. You shouldn't be coming in here saying, let's just rehash what I've been doing all week. No, you should be coming in here allowing there to be a time of worship, a time of downloading, so to speak, and letting His Spirit fill you in such a way that says, you don't know what you're facing this week, but I do, and I want to fill you with my Spirit so that you can handle that which is coming your way. But many of us say, I'll just watch it on TV. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing with watching preachers on TV. But that doesn't mean you're the ecclesia. That means you're the remote king. Because eventually that channel will change. Eventually. It's part about coming out and being a part of the body of Christ. So why is the church so often powerless? Why don't we rule more of our world rather than our world ruling us? Maybe it's because we don't understand who we are, that we're ambassadors for Christ. The reason an American embassy can stand so confident is because they've got America standing behind them, right? It's not just because they're out there disconnected somewhere, long way, but no, they're connected to the nation that sent them. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now those gates, what it talked about back in the times when they were wording this, the gates were representative of a governmental agency, so to speak, of the enemy, of the devil. Plans, the schemes of the enemy, the gates, and it's plural. Now, let me explain this government of the devil so we can start binding and loosing things in our life. Did you know that hell has a game film on you? Did you know that? Hell has a game film on your life. Now, maybe today you're going, what? Maybe this will explain why you so easily get trapped in this temptation or this snare. Because I tell you what, if you watch any professional game, whether it be NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, all those other acronyms, any good coach, when they get ready to play, let's use this, Blackhawks, Lightning, all right? They're in the NHL playoffs right now. You know what the coach is going to do? He's going to sit down because they're in game number 5, I believe. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to sit down and look at games 1 through 4. What are they looking for? They're looking for all the weaknesses of the other team. And when they look for the weaknesses of the other team, when they find it, they will exploit it. They will put their men strategically in a place so when the weakness shows up, bam, they got them. And they can score them. Do you know the enemy does the same thing to you and me? It's a game film on us. He knows what our temptations are. He knows that we're prone to this alcohol thing or we're prone to this sexual perversion thing or this pornography thing or we're prone to having a mouth that shoots off. And he'll set us up. He'll find our weaknesses. See, this is what happens at the gates. That's why it's so important. Now this means more to me. Jesus will build his church, ecclesia. And the gates of hell, the schemes of the enemy, the plans that he has, the ways he tries to set me up and trip me up, the gates of hell will not prevail. Now it changes everything, doesn't it? Because it's not just some verse you read. You find out, hey, man, when I'm a part of a church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, all those things that trip me up, everything the enemy has planned for me, they do not prevail because I'm a part of the body of Christ. The devil may know our weaknesses. We all have them. He knows, like a good football coach, how to exploit them. But Jesus says, if you follow what I'm building, my ecclesia, then the gates of hell, its plans to thwart you are defeated. You know, it's one thing to sing the devil's defeated. It's another thing to experience the devil's defeated, right? Completely different. It's easy to sing the words. It's easy to say the devil is a liar. And it's true. But many times he gets to us. Jesus says, I'll build my church, my collective church, as well as the individuals that make it up. And then here's what I'm going to do so the devil doesn't win in their lives. You might say, well, doesn't he just protect me from my relational problems? Why doesn't he just give me the job I want? Why doesn't he just give me the car I want? Why doesn't he just give me the money I want? Why doesn't he just do this? Why doesn't he just do that? Here's what he does. He says, no, I'm not just going to do it for you. He says, but here's what I'm going to do. So that the devil and the gates of hell that prevail against us don't overrule my legislature, my church, he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you, and the you here is you and I, the church, says I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. Have you ever been in a hurry to go somewhere and can't find your car keys? Don't you hate that? I mean, you are in a hurry to get somewhere and you cannot find your keys. You can't find the keys, and you need the keys because the keys are what gain you access to go where it is that you need to go. Without the keys, you can't access the car or the house or the business door or whatever it is. You can't do it without the keys. You see, these keys, it gets so frustrating. Lisa, when she was getting ready to go to Cambodia, she needed her passport. Her passport was locked in a firebox. The firebox was locked and secure, and where were the keys? I don't know. I still haven't found them. And I was so frustrated. I looked all over the house. I was flipping things all around looking for keys. I remember sometimes when I found a key, I'm like, yes, I found it. And I'd run over there. That's the wrong key. It wouldn't open the lock. It was so frustrating that finally I just grabbed the whole box and I went down to Hart's Lock and Cycle. Took that box and I went, bam. I said, I can't open it. And they took a look at it. And thank God for the company there that was able to open it, because without the proper key to open the box, I couldn't get the passport out so she could go to Cambodia. My point is this. Many of us, God's got a plan for us. He's got a destination that he wants us to get to, but we can't get there because we're not using his keys. We're using the wrong stinking key. He says, I've got the keys of the kingdom right here. And we go, it's okay, God, I got this one. And we pull out our keys and we cram them in a lock that's not made to fit that key. And all of a sudden we start destroying the lock and we get mad and we take our firebox and we drop it down in front of other people and say, I can't open the box. Help me. But I got a question for you. If you don't have the key and it's a kingdom key that's going to open it, why do you think somebody else is going to be able to open it for you? Many times we're talking to people who, and it's nothing wrong with talking to people, seeking godly counsel, wisdom, that's good. But when we're talking about the keys to the kingdom, God says, hello, they're right here, right here. Use them. Now I shut my Bible and I lost my place. Hold on a minute. You see, if you have a key to a legitimate door that gains you, then it gains you authority and it gains you access. Maybe you've done this. I went to a hotel once with the family, and they give you a little credit card-looking key, right? And you hold it up to the door, and beep, beep, and the door opens up. You paid for a night at a hotel, so they gave you a key. And that key gained you access to a room that you had every right to be in because you paid for that room and received the key, and you used the key that they gave you to open the room, the specific room that you were able to gain access into. It's the way it works. But then we left and we went to another town and we went to another hotel. And when we went up to the desk and we did the same thing, we got a room. They gave us a key. And it was a credit card looking one, just like the hotel before. Put it in my pocket. We grabbed the bags. We went up to the room. I pulled out the key and I held it up there and it gave me that, you know, like, I'm not going to open your door for you. And I thought, well, you stupid door. And I just kept doing that. So I did what any other person would do. You know, beating on the door didn't do it. It didn't help it. And I was ready to call the maintenance people and say, you know, your stupid door doesn't work. And this key, you know, you guys, your machines are broke. You know what I found out? I was using the wrong key. I was using the key from the hotel the previous day. And I got thinking about that. I thought, how many times has God given us keys, but the keys that we have, we're using them on the wrong doors? We're trying to address earthly issues with earthly answers, when really the only thing that's ever going to address this chaos of the situation we're going through is the keys from the kingdom of God. You see, we've got to understand, binding and loosing has to do with those keys. And that's what God wants to show us this morning, is that when we get frustrated, how many of you use the wrong key? Spiritually speaking, you know, God said to do something, but maybe we didn't quite understand and it didn't work out, so we just got mad. You know, when you use the wrong keys, what happens is you walk around saying, well, God doesn't work. Jesus doesn't work. Church doesn't work. Christianity doesn't work. And we get frustrated when really all we're doing is using the wrong key. What we need to do is get the right key in the right door. It is not the key to the kingdom of earth. It's the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Which means if you're not using heaven's solution to solve your earthly problem, it won't work. It won't work. He says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom is talking about rule. I'm going to give you keys to rulership. There's four things you have in a kingdom, and it's in your outlines there. And you'll see that the first thing you have is you have a king, obviously, somebody who's the ruler. You have citizens who are the rulees. You have a location, which is the realm. And then you have regulations, which are rules that govern that kingdom. Because without rules, there would be chaos. There would be chaos. So you have four things in this kingdom that make it up. And you know what people want in life? They want a picture in a picture. You remember those? Maybe they still have them. But picture in a picture. You know what that was? I can watch a TV screen and I can have a picture up in the right-hand corner. So I can watch what I want to watch and I can watch something else too. I can have the best of both worlds and I can watch this program. And I'll watch on the big screen the thing I want to really watch the most while keeping my eye on the small screen. And if that becomes more interesting, bam, I'll hit the button and I'll switch them around. And I'll now watch the thing that's most interesting, picture in a picture. Do you know that that's what we do with God many times? We start saying that we want what we want, but we want what he wants too, and God calls that double-mindedness. James 1:5 says, let not that man or woman think they will receive anything from the Lord when you're double-minded. If you've got a picture in a picture life, God's way on Sunday, man's way on Monday, and that's how you're living life, then the keys don't work. The keys don't work. It's only a key to one door, and that is to access the authority kingdom, the authoritative realm of heaven. So why are we not ruling well? Well, it's because we're either using the wrong key, or we're not using the key, or we're using it on the wrong door. It's one of those three. James 3 says that there's wisdom from above that God gives to each and every one of us. The challenge we face today is to understand that you will never rule your world well as long as you're using the wrong key. It's amazing the places we go to get keys made. I'm not talking about physical keys right now. I'm talking about God says, I've got the keys to the kingdom. And we say, no, that's okay. I'm going to check over here. I'm going to talk to mom and dad. I'm going to go to my buddies and say, hey, make me a key. Give me some advice. The problem is your buddy's as screwed up as you, if not more screwed up, and they're giving you advice. All the while God's saying, I've got the keys right here. I've got the keys to the kingdom. We call these people and say, make me a key. Give me your advice. Here's the way that you know you're not using heaven's key. It's in your outlines. Here it is. Because you go to heaven last. That's when you know you're not using the kingdom keys properly. You go to heaven last. Let me see what mom and dad say. Let me see what my wife says, my husband says. And I'm not saying that seeking advice isn't good. Let me see what the bank says. Let me see what the credit card company says. Let me see what the eye doctor says. Whoever it is. Whatever it is you're doing. And then finally we go, oh, I don't know what else I can do. Maybe I'm going to pray about it. We go to God last. He says, I'm going to give you the keys. Notice the word keys in the Bible is plural. Why? Because verse 18 says, because hell has gates. The gates are plural. For every hellish gate, there is a corresponding kingdom key. That is, there's a door God wants you to open in heaven to address the gate that just swung open in hell. So what do? This binding and loosing. We're going to start talking about that. And what happens is this. When you're addressing this, the first thing you have to do is, number one, write this down in your outlines, appeal to heaven first. Appeal to heaven first. Let me explain what I mean by that. You see, your first question should be, when you're facing a situation, a crisis, whatever it is, even if it's not a crisis, let's just say it's a decision that needs to be made, the question should be, what does God have to say about this? What does God have to say about this? Not the last question, not after you've asked everybody you know. It should be your first response. Matthew 6:33. Let's read this together, okay? Ready? Go. And he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That's why, men, it's so important to be the spiritual leader of your home. It's so important to be the head of your household. Seek God first and not everything else after it's been tried. Then seek the Lord. No, take that leadership role and take that stance of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We must take that stance. Choose the kingdom of heaven to address the hell that just opened up in your life. Because I know it's going to. It is, or it has. We're all in one of those three categories, because you've got to be operating under the right covering, the headship, in order for the blessings to flow. Scuba divers, when they go diving down into water, you know what they put on their back? Oxygen. Why do they put oxygen on their back? Because the environment they're about to go into, they are not made to live in. So in order to make it in that environment, they need to strap on their back a tank of oxygen so they can survive in the environment that they're in. Now, if they go down there and decide to talk to the fish about their environment and get their advice on how they can live and how they can survive, what's going to happen? They're going to die. We would die because we have not prepared ourselves for the environment below. You know, in the kingdom of God, he says, listen, you've got everything you need to make it work here, but you've got to strap on the Holy Spirit, and you got to get a kingdom perspective so you can make it in this world. And when you do that, God gives you the keys to the kingdom. You weren't made for this world. You were made for heaven. Did you know that? Remember, we just went through infinity and beyond. You remember that, right? You were made and created to worship him and to be with him forever. But if you choose not to be, that's your choice. Okay, now let's say you chose to be here. I choose to live for God. Okay, now let's not just survive. Let's not just get by. Let's live with some kingdom keys in our hands. Learn how to address some things in our life so we can live that out in our life. You see, the biblical point of view is we're to take the world up there and breathe it out down here so we can make it down here. And there's plenty of oxygen up there so you can stay filled in the Spirit so that you can breathe out heaven's point of view here in this atmosphere. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He says, I'm going to give you the ability to rule your world down here. So you will be telling finances what to do instead of finances telling you what to do. You can start telling relationships what's going to happen. I didn't say tell your wife what's going to happen. I didn't say tell your husband what's going to happen. I said that the two of you in union, in unison, together can say, this is where we are going, because as for us, we are going to serve the Lord. You start telling the relationship what's going to happen instead of just letting things tell your relationship what's going to happen. You see, you got a kingdom perspective, but it starts with appealing to heaven first. Then number two, write this down, get heaven's point of view. Once you appeal to heaven first, then you get heaven's point of view. And this is a gift. He says, I'm going to give you the keys. I'm going to give you access to heaven. Every person here today that has trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of sins has access to these keys, because they've been given to the church, and you can have access to them. You can have access to heaven. You're supposed to be utilizing heaven, by the way, to make it on earth. You know that, right? Okay, one person knows that. Let me try this again. You're supposed to be utilizing heaven to make it here on earth. Did you know that? Yes. You're just saying that now because I said it twice. But I want you to think about that. You're not going to make it here because you're so good. You're not going to make it here because, hey, we got a great pastoral staff. Don't count on us. Don't rely on us. Now, I'm not saying that we're not here to support. We're not here to love. We're not there for you. We can't give advice and do our part. I'm saying that there is a kingdom principle that says, take responsibility for where you're at in your walk with Christ and start walking in that. Start living out those kingdom principles, and you'll find that there's a freedom that God gives you. He gives it directly to you. But you get that as you get that understanding, you get that point of view. You're supposed to utilize heaven to make it on earth. Let me put it this way. You cannot drink monster drinks and eat donut cakes all day long and then drink a Diet Coke and think it's going to be okay. Right? Some teenagers are like, why not? And as obvious as that is, you cannot adopt the world's way of thinking and then come to die at church and think it's going to work out okay. You can't come to church and say, hey, I've been doing what I want, smoking what I want, saying what I want, doing all the other things that I want that I know I shouldn't probably do. But because I came to church, I gave God my 30 minutes. It's all good. That's not going to do it. Why? Because it's about living under the kingdom principles, understanding that he's given us keys. And those keys unlock doors, but you don't get the keys if you've not come under his rulership. You must operate in this world from the you must operate in this world from that world with the use of keys. Isaiah 22, 22 says, "And I will place on his shoulders the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." What does the key mean? It means authority. It's authority. I will place on his shoulders the authority, is what it's saying. I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you the right to represent me on earth like I represented my Father on earth while I was on earth. But now you and I, we are the body of Christ. We are the ecclesia, the church. So what will happen if we begin to operate this way? What will happen if we begin to use our kingdom keys, that is, on the front end, appeal to heaven's point of view for the things that you face? Guess what? Now journaling becomes important, doesn't it? Because you're not just reading the Bible to tell Pastor Jim, finally, I read my Bible. Now you're reading the Bible because you need to find out what God has to say about what's going to be coming down the pike. All of a sudden, coming to church has a little bit more meaning. Now I'm studying for a reason. Now I'm asking questions for a reason. Now I'm attending church for a reason because I need heaven's help on ruling my earth. We need that understanding. It's coming underneath divine authority rather than spending hours trying to talk about whose point of view is correct. We all spend our time, maybe too much time, speaking to the fish, trying to get their perspective instead of just using the kingdom keys. We need to appeal to heaven. We need to get heaven's point of view. But then number three, begin operating on that point of view. Begin operating on that point of view. Here we go. What happens when you get the key to the kingdom of heaven? The Bible says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing occurs. When you appeal to heaven first, you get heaven's point of view. You begin operating on that point of view by binding and loosing. It says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven in verse 19, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, loosed in heaven. Where is the binding occurring? On earth. Who's doing the binding? We are. Yeah. He says, whatever you bind on earth, he's not going to bind it first. You and I, we're going to have to do it. But when I see you bind it down there on earth, he says, I bind it here in heaven. And when I see you loose things here on earth, he says, then I loose them in heaven. But he said, you know, the Bible says, you draw near to him and he does what? Draws near to you. He's saying, you take the first step. Too many of us are going, no, you take the first step. And that's where it stays. Because we get stubborn. But God says, listen, when you start binding and understanding this principle that it's a kingdom key, then you'll see things change in your life. If you use my key, he says, my authority, my access, whatever you bind. And by the way, to bind means this. It means to restrict or to restrain. Well, how do I do that? How does that work in my life? Listen, I believe there's some people here that need to bind maybe their mind to the mind of Christ today. You say, I can do that? Yes. Yes, you can. I encourage it. You may say, but I don't even really understand what I'm saying. You know what? Why don't you start praying that and saying, I want to do that and understand that more. Lord, will you show me and watch what he'll do? I pray the prayer, Lord, I bind my mind today to the mind of Christ. Lord, I'm asking that my mind and my thoughts would be your thoughts because you know my thoughts. You know what I've been dwelling on. And you know it's not all been good. So Lord, today I bind my mind to the mind of Christ. Maybe some people here today need to bind their emotions to the emotions of Christ. Today you feel like you're an emotional basket case and I don't know what to do. I'm just all over the place. Lord, today I bind my emotions to the emotions of Christ. And when you bind it here, he says, I bind it there. It's done. It's taken care of. Maybe some of us need to bind some of our actions. I bind my actions to the actions of Christ because God, you know what my actions have been. You know what I've been looking at. You know what I've been doing. You know what I've been saying. And today I bind those actions to be your actions. Lord, change that in my heart and in my life and in my actions. But you can't bind something without loosing too. Okay? Because you will be bound up. You got to loose too. Some of us maybe here need to loose some wrong thoughts we've had. Lord, today I choose to loose that wrong thinking I have. When my dad told me I was stupid, I was dumb, and I'd never amount to anything. I loose that in the name of Jesus. And when you loose it here, it's loosed up there. Some of us need to loose the way of thinking. Lord, I loose that person. And here's what to loose means. It means to permit or free up. That's what it means to loose something, okay? So when I heard that word, I'm like, loose, you know. What does that mean? It means you give permission. You free up. Lord, I loose that person from doing that wrong against me. I loose that person and I forgive that person that maybe for some of you here today, I don't know where you're at, but maybe some of you have had some, what's the best way to say it? Somebody has transgressed against you physically. And you said, it'll be a cold day in hell and a pig will fly before I will forgive them. What you just did was you bound something in a wrong way and you refused to loose it. I want to tell you something. The only one that's bound now is you. Maybe today you're here. I don't know if it's somebody that's here. But to hear a pastor say, you want me to loose that here on earth and you want me to go first and trust that God's going to loose it in heaven? Yeah, I do. I do, I'm asking that. Not because I'm so good or I know this or that, but I'll tell you two things. Number one, the Word of God says, when you bind it on earth, it's bound in heaven. In other words, he's saying, I got your back, Jack. You don't have to worry about anything. He says, but you got to do your part. And when you loose and you ask for forgiveness and you release people from the hurt they did in your life, then all of a sudden you give freedom and you give room for the Holy Spirit to come in and heal your heart. You see, when he has that room, he can heal a heart that's been broken. Whatever you bind, he says, I got your back, Jack. I'm going to make sure it's bound. Whatever you loose, I got your back on that. It's going to be okay, but you must bind it and you must loose it. And when you do it, then he does his part. Well, he's God. Why doesn't he do what he wants to do? He is. And he said, you go first. He said, you go first. And the way you do this is by using a key that unlocks a door to heaven's point of view. Man, I'm running out of time. You don't have to live life as a victim any longer, by the way, when you understand binding and loosing. You're going to find yourself, by the way, you will try it. You just, Lord, I'm just going to bind my mind to the mind of Christ. Lord, I choose today to have your thought process. And I loose any wrong thinking. I loose any negativity. I loose any gossip in the name of Jesus. Just, you know, whatever he's putting on your heart. And then watch how God will use that. Maybe it's the next day. You're going to say, man, I feel like I got to pray that again. Good. Because you just don't do it once and then it's perfect. It's a lifestyle. It's keys. You use your keys more than once, don't you, to get in your car? Use your keys to get in your house more than once, don't you? Use the keys of the kingdom more than once. And watch how it can free you up. And when you do that and you go to heaven first, you get heaven's point of view, and then you operate on that which God has revealed to you. Then number four, now you can call on heaven for what you need. Now, what in the world... I mean, notice that number four, by the way, I did this on purpose. The last point is, now you can call on heaven. The reason I did this is because, I don't know about you, but when I'm in trouble, when I've got a problem, two things. I usually don't go and appeal to heaven first. I usually don't get heaven's perspective. I usually don't act on the perspective because I haven't went and gotten it. But what I do is I run to God and I say, God, help me. Give me what I, and I don't say need, I say, give me what I want. Too many times we run to God. There's a God, you know. People do this to me a lot, and I don't do much with it, but they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I believe there's a God, and you know, out there somewhere, and, you know, and that's good. And he goes, it's just not for me. And it breaks my heart. But the reality is most people, what they do is they say, I'm going to live life. What they're saying is, I'm going to live life and acknowledge there's a God, so that way if there really is a God, at least I acknowledged him, and maybe he'll remember that on the day I stand before him. And when they're in trouble, and when I'm in trouble, we call out to God for what we want. But you see, that doesn't always work, does it? You know why? Because we're not using the kingdom keys. We're using our own keys. God says if you use the kingdom keys, you will appeal to heaven first. You'll get heaven's point of view. You'll act upon that. And now finally, you can call on God or you can call on heaven for what it is that you need. To bind something, release something. You know, there was a lady that was at a job. Now, God will answer these prayers when you pray this. It goes beyond the, you know, God bless me, my four no more. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who eats the fastest, gets the most. You know, these are all just stupid, childish prayers that we pray to feel like we've attempted some connection with God. Now, you may go a little deeper and say, yeah, I do spend time and pray to God. But when you start praying prayers of binding and loosing, these are kingdom principles, and they'll set you free. Now, there's one lady who is, God answers in different ways, by the way, okay? He's got a million different ways. This lady was on her job, And the boss was giving her a hard time because he did not like any Jesus lovers or anything like that. And he told her that. He said, well, you're not going to last here long because he was the supervisor. You're one of them Jesus lovers in that. He just gave her a hard time. And she went to the pastor and said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He goes, I don't necessarily have all the answers, but let's pray together. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray that God would bind your mind and your will, your heart, to what God has for you. And we're going to loose any of the wrong thinking. And then she's like, oh, okay. And they prayed that prayer, and guess what? 2 days later, that guy was fired because he wasn't doing his job well, and she was given his position. It's amazing what God can do. Now, let me put this disclaimer. Don't say, that was an awesome story, so I'm going to go pray that over my boss. Okay, don't do that. This is the way that God chose to work in her life, okay? Did it happen because of the prayer? I don't know. I don't need to know. All I know is that she obeyed. She used her keys to address this principle in a right way. Does it work that way every time? No, God's got a million ways. But what's the difference then between this and the name it and claim it kind of prosperity thinking and belief, the blab it and grab it kind of stuff? Just go out there and say what I want and claim it in the name of Jesus. Now, you got to understand, right now, at this moment in my life, on this date, the way I think about this is I'm not a huge fan on prosperity theology. I like you have to think things through and kind of see what God has to say in that. But the reason I say that is because of this. This is a little bit different than that prosperity that some people teach about the name it and claim it stuff. And the reason is because, number one, you can only name and claim what God wants you to have. Did you know that? You can't name I'm naming and claiming a Lamborghini in the name of Jesus. What happens when that Lamborghini doesn't come through? You feel like Jesus didn't come through. And you now put God in a box as if he's some kind of genie in a bottle. You see, all you did was try to use him to get what you wanted, and that's not what God's here for. So that's why I say the whole name it and claim it theology, you can only name and claim that which God has given to you. I'm naming and claiming that man in the name of Jesus. I'm naming and claiming that woman in the name of Jesus. Yeah, good luck with that. You still going to be naming and claiming it 6 months into the wedding? After you were married? You might be naming and claiming something. But you see, you can only name and claim that which God brings to you. Adam in the garden. Adam in the garden, God brought to him the animals. And you know what he said? Name them and claim them. You know why? Because God brought them to him. So he then could do it. But here's another reason about the whole kind of name it, claim it thing. Anything God gives you to claim, he never just wants you to use for you. Anything God gives you, I name it and claim it in the name of Jesus. Okay, what's the motive of your heart behind that? Are you naming and claiming because you want what you want? Or are you naming and claiming because you want to see God work through you? Big difference. Big difference. God's not there to bless you so you can just sit there and say, he's my sugar daddy in the sky, give me what I want. Grandpa, Santa Claus, whatever you want to call him. No, he is our Lord and Savior. And he says, I'm your provider, I'm your protector. But I'm not just going to give you things because you think you can name something and claim something. I want you, when he's speaking to us, to understand that he wants to work in us and through us. In Exodus, and I'll end with this because time has gotten away from me, Moses was in the Bible and he was facing some difficult people. You ever face difficult people in your life? They're sitting right next to me. Shh. Moses was facing some difficult people. They were the Amalekites. And you ever have an enemy when they're just battling you, they're fighting you, they're against you, resisting you? Amalek is causing problems for God's people. And they said, how are we going to have the victory over these people? They're bigger than us. They're more powerful than us. They have more weapons than us. And he said, how are we, little old Israel, going to be able to handle this? And Moses said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going up to the mountain. You're going down to the battle. I'm going to a place to meet with God. And if you remember the story, when Moses lifted his staff, you remember that? When he lifted his staff, there was a kingdom perspective on that battle, and they were given the victory. But when he got tired and dropped his staff, then they started to lose the battle because there was a physical representation of what was going on here about reaching out for the kingdom of God versus getting tired and giving up. Some of us have been reaching out and we're gaining the victory, but we've gotten tired and we've dropped our hands, and all of a sudden we start losing the battle and we forget about raising our hands back up and getting God's perspective. By the way, the staff represented the power and the presence of God. So he wasn't just raising a stick as if to say, I'm going to beat you with it. He was lifting the staff because the staff represented the power and the presence of God. Whenever he lifted the staff, heaven came down and got into the battle, and Israel began to prevail. But when his hands went down, because he got tired, then they started to lose the battle. Let's admit it. Sometimes you get tired of praying. Sometimes you get tired of going to church. Sometimes you get tired of reading your Bible. Sometimes you get tired and you just want to quit. Even if you don't want to admit it today and you don't have to, it's a reality of life. But when you give up and you quit, guess what? The battle changes. The battle changes because you're no longer in contact with heaven. But you say, oh, I'm still tired and I'm still weary. That's why you need to be part of the ecclesia. That's why you need to be part of the local church. Some people say, well, should I join a church and that's going to fix everything? That's the start. You become a part of the body of Christ. So when you get tired and you feel like your arms are wanting to hang down, you got somebody who's going to lift your hands up. You got somebody that'll stand alongside of you when you say, I don't have the strength any longer to face this. Because if you get tired and drop your arms, you start losing the battle. Let me share something with you that's very real. Sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I get tired of preparing sermons. Sometimes I get tired of coming on Sundays. Sometimes I get tired of thinking, well, I got to do another sermon, God. I never know what you want to do, and you don't always tell me way in advance, and I just get tired of this, and sometimes it just starts to wear on me. But you know what's so neat is I've got people in my life that lift my hands up. When I get tired and I feel worn out and I feel like I don't want to go to church, it's pretty bad when the pastor doesn't want to go to church, but there's times when that happens. I said, I don't know if I want to do this any longer. Guess what? There's people in my life that come and say, give me your hand. And they put my arms up. And sometimes I don't feel very spiritual. Sometimes I feel like a rag doll. They got me 6 inches off the ground and I'm just dragging my feet along. I don't have a choice. But that's the kind of people you need in your life. People that are going to come alongside and lift you up. As a matter of fact, it was 4 weeks ago. One guy came along and he grabbed my arm and he pulled it up in the air and he said, I'm there if you ever need me. You know, that spoke a lot. That spoke a lot. That's who we're supposed to be, as the body of Christ. Maybe you need somebody to come alongside you and lift your hands up. Maybe you need to be in somebody's life lifting up their hands. You'll find that when you get involved in that, you become a part of the ecclesia, the body of Christ. So, you get your strength back. You get your focus back. You get your vision back when you become a part of the church and you start taking back your world. No longer is the world telling you what to do. You're telling your world what's going to happen. Does it always work your way? No. But when things change, you know that you will always become the victor, not the victim. Why? Because you're walking in the authority that Christ has given us. My question to you today, as we end the service, 4 minutes late, and we end this series, is do you have your keys? Do you have your keys? You have keys. You're going to go get in your car. You're going to go get in your house. But do you have your keys to the kingdom of heaven? Because you can be in the safety of your car. You can be in the safety of your home. But there is nothing as safe as being in the presence of God Almighty. Amen. Father, I just want to ask this morning, Lord, that as we come into your presence, Lord, some of us here today, we have a set of keys, but like a kid who gets a set of fake keys to play with, they feel important. But the keys don't unlock a darn thing. Some of us maybe here today have some keys and we've been playing around like we have keys that open doors, but we realize we've just been playing. These keys don't open anything. We need your keys, Jesus. We need the keys to the kingdom of God, and your word says that you give those freely to those that are here and are in Christ Jesus. Are you here today? And I simply am going to put it this way. You know that you need to make your heart right with God. You need to ask him to come into your heart, or maybe it's just a rededication. If that's you, just simply raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. Would you agree with me in prayer? I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. Today it's a done deal. He gives you the forgiveness of sins because you've made a decision to ask him into your heart. And not only does he do that, but he gives you the keys to the kingdom of God. Those things that seem to have whooped you, now they are under your feet. Those things, you are the victor. You may not feel like it, but don't go by feelings. Go by faith. I agree with you. God saw your hand in your heart. You walk in that understanding, okay? And you understand that God gives you the keys to the kingdom. You may not have all the keys you want, but you've got all the keys you need. And God is going to show you how to use those. I agree with you today. God sees your heart. As you raise your hand, he says, I fill you now with the presence. It's not something weird. He's not going to turn you into something you don't want to be. He loves you exactly the way you are. You may say, but I feel broken. I feel like there's something wrong with me. No, there's nothing wrong with you at all. Not at all. You have been perfectly and wonderfully made. And now when he enters your life, he says, I enter you with a power that gives you the authority, not to be an authoritarian, but to be walking in authority, submitted to Christ, ruling your world well. Walk with that in Jesus' name. Is there any of the hearts here today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I agree with you. God sees your hand in your heart. That decision you make today is not a decision that you just make and say, hey, I've done my time. It's a decision that changes the course of your life, because now your focus is no longer on me, myself, and I. Your focus is on what, Holy Spirit, are you speaking to me that directs me, myself, and I. And when you follow his lead, you'll find that he'll lead you to that place of promise. Is there any other hearts here today? And for just a moment, I agree with you. My brother, God sees your hand. Know that he empowers you with the strength that comes from the inside out. There is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. So walk in that power. Walk in that understanding. Walk in that anointing. And don't let anybody tell you what you can't do. We hear that too much. We hear it way too much. It's about time you started hearing what God has to say. Because when you get tuned in to his voice, you're going to find out he's called you to go places you never thought you were able or capable of. But you are. Because you're his son. Walk in that. Any other hearts? I agree with you. God saw your heart. Your hand was up. God saw your heart. And that decision you make today, know that that's not a decision that you make lightly. God knows that. And he so cherishes you and who you are. Walk in that understanding and know that God sets you free. There's nothing that you have to be afraid of, nothing you have to worry of, nothing that you have to look back and say, but how could God love me knowing that I did this? The Bible says when he forgives you, he takes the past and throws it to the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't go fishing for it again. So don't you go fishing as well. Is there any other hearts here today? Just a moment. Here's what I'd like to do to end service. Would you stand with me? As we end the series, as we end the service, just a neat presence of the Holy Spirit and what God is doing. I just want to simply offer this. Pastor John, Pastor Tim, Pastor Dad, if you'd like to come up at this time. Maybe you're here today and you lost your keys. Maybe you feel like there's something that's just weighing you down, dogging you. You can't seem to get free. You can't get the victory. The Bible says, call upon the elders of the church so they can lay hands and pray for you. Lay hands upon you and pray for you. Maybe you're here today and you don't need that. If you don't, you're dismissed. God bless you. Have a great week. But maybe you're here today and you just need that extra special touch. We want to offer that you can come forward and we'll pray for you. So if that's you, you come at this time. And if it's not, God bless you. And we will see you next week.